service Sunday night, I thought. Really, I've been feeding on that all week long. God's good grace. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read you a song. How's that sound? I don't know what key it'll be in, but I'm just going to read you this song here. It says, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, this sound prolong. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King." How many can say God bless America tonight? Huh? Those songs are beautiful. They're hard to sing. And, you know, all those pretty patriotic songs. And the one, I remember we went to Colorado one time. It's beautiful there. If I'm not mistaken, they said that lady was there. What's that song about waves of grain? What song is that? America. Ever how it goes. But it said that she was on the peak there looking out across toward the plains when she wrote that song. Amen. I'll tell you what, she had a good point of view. She had a good perspective. And it just filled her with an awe in her heart when she looked out at the beauty of our country, and she began to write. I love passion in the heart when folks are moved and stirred and inspired, don't you? I was inspired Sunday night when we got in service, and I was inspired by the testimonies, the Spirit of God I felt. That's what I love. Just like that lady that climbed Pike's Peak so many thousand, 12,000-13,000 feet above sea level. And she went up that rugged mountain and looked, got a view out, praise God. Amen. That's what I felt tonight when Brother Mike sang that song. Amen. And I'm terrible anymore at remembering things. But the words of that song, it says, don't weep for me, Brother Mike, that, and it talks about in heaven, and I'm right now casting my crown at Jesus' feet. Praise God. That touched me. Praise God. I'll tell you what it did. I got to thinking about those, amen, that have went on, and if they could talk back to us, praise God. Amen. They'd inspire us, Sister Connie. Amen. To go on and live for God. Amen. For heaven's going to be worth the journey. I'm not here tonight just crawling on my hands and knees, fretting and wringing my hand. Brother, I love Jesus Christ. He's been my Savior and my Lord. He's blessed me, praise God. Amen. And He's inspired me. Amen. When I get on my knees to pray, I get a panoramic view, amen, of who I am and where I've been and where God has brought me from. And not more than that, amen, I get inspiration of where I'm headed. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm about to feel like preaching here tonight. Amen. I love the Lord, don't you? I like to have revival at Keene Mountain where folks were stirred in their soul that their heart in rapture would just have to say something about God or do something for God or lift up a hand of praise to God without a cheerleader or an orchestrator. Amen. But just come into the house of God and sing those old songs of Zion. Amen. And can get something in our heart that make us praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Woo! Hallelujah. Go ahead, Sister Linda. Let me, I'll preach a little bit. The Lord help me from this setting. Verse 22, 14, Matthew 14 and 22. Covet your prayers tonight, and that the Lord would anoint what few remarks we've got to say to you tonight. It'd be a help to somebody. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Now there's a lot of significance in this verse tonight. And I know you've heard it preached many times and read it through many times, this storm on the sea. But before I get down to my text, I want you to notice some things in this verse. It says that Jesus constrained his disciples. That word constrain, amen, is a pretty bold word in a sense. He didn't just ask them to get in there. He pressed upon them, amen, to get in the ship and to go. And I like what I see in this. He said to go before him. Now that leads me to believe that they had the impression that when they got in that ship and set sail, that it wouldn't, somewhere along the path, amen, the Lord would be bringing himself into their presence, if not with them on the other side of the sea. So they had high hopes, Brother Charlie, amen, that before the day was over, they'd be in the presence of the Son of God again. But and when he had sent the multitude away, Jesus, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I want you to get this picture. The disciples in a ship, Jesus in the mountain. Amen. And look what happens. The Bible said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Wonderful story. I want to zero in on a verse here tonight, if the Lord would help me, and I wish you'd pray for me. But I want you to look at this part right here where it says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Now, I don't know exactly how you do that, how you begin to sink. I have sank a few times, and I never even began. I just sank. Amen. Have y'all ever been there? But this tells me right here, Brother Kenny, that there's some grace in this scripture. Because in a split second, this sinking saint, amen, had a time to recover himself. Praise God. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on sinking saints. Praise God. Now I'm going to preach from something I know tonight. Amen. I know we are in the critical hour of our lives. Amen. And there's some circumstances here that have brought, amen, all of this about. But, you know, I'm going to deal with some of those. But really, what's really important here tonight, Brother Darrell, I want to bring out the fact that this man, Peter here, was a saint of God. Amen. And in the midst of the circumstance of life that he was in, after all that had happened, all that he experienced, all that he had saw, you see, it had done just a few hours before, amen, that he was, amen, feeding the multitude, 5,000 people with a few fish and loaves of bread. Amen. This scripture that I read to you is also relayed to us in the book of Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6. Same story with a little bit more detail here and there and some things left out. Amen. But it does tell us, amen, that they put him on the ship. It was right after a great miracle. And really, amen, just before Peter began to sink, what do we see him doing? Amen. We see him walking, praise God, on the water. Praise God. So something, amen, you're here tonight, and I know that everybody nearly in this house, amen, has had some kind of miraculous experience, amen, somewhere or another with God. Amen. I don't know where God called you out. Amen. I don't know. And Sister Connie talking tonight about how good God had been to her. Brother, I know he's been good to Sister Connie. I know I was raised just a quarter of a mile around the road. I know what a miracle for both of us. Amen. To be in the house of God tonight. It's a miracle, I'm telling you. Amen. I want to tell you, there's not hardly any of us here, amen, that has not experienced, amen, some miracles by the hand of the Lord. But brother, I tell you, circumstance of life, amen, will cause us sometimes, amen, to forget the miracles, amen, that have come in our life. And when we forget the miracles and the experiences and inspiration of God, amen, even though we may be a saint of God, amen, we'll begin to sink. Amen. Come on now. Amen. We're in the storm of our life, and it is a dark time. Amen. And we're seeing, the Bible said, in the last days, amen, there would be a great falling away, a great sinking down. Oh, help me preach a little bit tonight on sinking saints. Amen. I want you to look at this with me tonight. Jesus constrained them to get into the ark or into the boat. Jesus said, get in, amen, and go to the other side. Go before me to the other side. Amen. And you know, I wonder tonight, in this little sanctuary right here tonight, how many of you are confident that you're doing what the Lord has commanded you to do tonight? Hallelujah. Your life is lit, what you're living. Amen. You're doing in obedience, amen, to the Word of God. You say, is that going to keep me out of the storm? Oh no, it won't keep you out of the storm. Oh, come on now, church. Are you in a storm tonight? Amen. And you say, I don't understand it. I've tried to live right. I've tried to do what God told me to do. Amen. But brother, listen now. Amen. God didn't tell them there wouldn't be a storm. Amen. And here it came. Amen. But what compounded, amen, this stormy hour is it was the fourth watch of the night, which is somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the darkest time, amen, of the night, and the storm was raging. Mark said it like this, amen, it was now dark, and Jesus had not came to us. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I'm looking for at King Mountain? I know it's a dark time, and I know it's a stormy time, amen, but Jesus said, go before me. And that leads me to believe
morning. Brother, listen. It ain't how we start the journey, but how we end up that matters the most. Amen. And we're in that dark, stormy hour that prophecy has prophesied about. And we must take heed lest we become a sinking saint in this hour. The fourth watch of the night. Amen. John said it like this. It said that they had forgotten. Help me preach a little bit tonight. They had forgotten. Amen. The miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Amen. Not only was it dark around them, praise God, but it was dark in them. It was dark in their mind. Have you ever seen such a time, amen, who people's lives are darkened with false doctrine, amen, with untruth, amen? Have you ever seen the time when most people that profess to be religious don't even believe that the Bible is true? Oh, God, help me preach tonight, Lord. I want to preach to somebody here tonight. Amen. You see what happened? It was dark, and it was a stormy time. Amen. And then the Bible said Jesus. No, now you got to remember this. Where was he? Where is he right now in your life? In the way it is sometimes, I've done it. God bless your heart. You may not have. But I've got there when the storms, the waves were high. Amen. And the night was dark. And I said, Lord, where are you? What are you doing right now? Amen. Come on now, church. Have I missed this? Have I got the wrong sermon? The wrong audience? What's the deal? I feel like the Lord wants me to preach. Amen. We can't afford to sink in this hour. Amen. I know God has called us. Amen. You know why Peter was on that water? Amen. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said one word. And that word was come. And brother, that's all he needed. Out of the boat he came. Brother, that's a saint of God. Out of the boat he came, and out on the water he walked. Oh, come on now. Amen. But notice what happened. Amen. He began to sink. Brother, I don't believe anybody sinks. Amen. That one time knew the Lord. Amen. This sinks just suddenly. Amen. But I believe God dealt with him. Amen. You're starting to sink. Amen. If he'd have just thought a little bit, he'd have realized, hey, I'm just starting to go down. Amen. This is water. And Peter did the thing, amen, that is old fashioned and always works and never fails. Amen. The Bible said he cried out. Amen. That's what kind of a revival we need right here tonight in the storm that you're in. Hallelujah. Whew. Now, where is the Lord? I want to preach to somebody tonight. Amen. I want to tell you, have you began to sink? Amen. How do you tell? Oh, you can tell. Have you lost your love for God? Have you lost your love for His house? Have you lost your love for one another? Have you lost your devotion to the Bible? Have you lost your desire to live right? Have you lost a... Oh, come on now. Brother, if you're beginning to feel that sinking feeling in your life, oh, God wants you to cry. There's no need for us to sink out of sight in the presence of the Son of God. He was sinking. I've seen people right in church that had the best of preaching and the best of singing and worship. And I've seen them sink right in a good holiness church. Are you like that tonight? Are you here sinking? Are you here going down? Amen. With Jesus right inside. Hallelujah. Woo. Lord, help me preach tonight. I want you to notice a few things about the Son of God. Number one, the Bible said that he was in the mountain praying. Amen. Don't you ever doubt. The Bible says he is at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. Now, everybody may not need this message tonight, but I know without a shadow of a doubt here tonight There's somebody in this house that is almost ready to give up. Are you listening to me? Amen. But I want you to know, if you begin to feel yourself sinking, listening too long to the wrong thing, amen, tarrying too long in front of the wrong thing, amen, talking to the wrong individuals, clicking on that wrong website, amen, in that chat room with the wrong type people, amen, are you listening to me? Brother, you're beginning to sink, and you go to church, and you go back home just the way you came. But I want to tell you something tonight. You don't have to sink out of sight. You can cry out to the Son of God. Hey, come on now. I tell you, I know it's dark. I'm not trying to belittle the darkness. I don't like the darkness. The devil has tormented me in the dark hours when the sun would go down and nobody to call. Amen for prayer. Help me preach a little. Amen. And the darkness came in and nothing to do but listen to the tick of that old clock and wait for the sun to come up. And you say, I feel myself sinking. I'll tell you what. Do what Peter did. If you're a sinking saint, amen, do what he did. He cried out, save me, Lord. We make altar calls for our saints, and if you get real tight, ain't nobody wants to move. Brother, we're going to have to get out of that. I've came in here before and be in revival and the evangelists be in here praying. I ain't going to tell you who it is. They don't need to go into that. But I'd slip in here and they'd be in here praying, and to hear them pray, you'd think for an evangelist we had the lowest down sinner that there was in the whole country. The way he was praying for God, have mercy on me. Lord, don't let your spirit leave me. And on, and cried, moaned, and groaned. And I lay back there and listened. Oh, help me preach a little bit tonight. I mean, I've been right here in this church myself. Amen. In a critical hour of my life. And wake myself up, groaning and crying, wondering what is that noise. And realize it's coming out of me. Amen. But I'll tell you what's going on. It's a dark hour and a stormy hour. But my Savior is near. Oh, hallelujah. I'm out here on this water because he called me. He said, come. You're in this house tonight. Oh, yes, you are. Amen. Some of my beloved flock is right here in this house tonight. Amen. You've been sinking for a while. Amen. But listen, you don't have to sink. Amen. Under. Amen. Call out to the Son of God. Oh, I know. I'm not trying. Listen, I'm telling you the truth here tonight. You see, when trouble comes, amen, we lose our perception. We do now. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. You remember Elijah? Amen. You remember Elijah after Mount Carmel? He prayed and the fire fell. Killed all them prophets. Amen. Outrun Ahab's chariot. You remember all that? You remember what happened to him? Help me now. Amen. I tell you what, our nerves and our emotions, Brother Jeff, are fragile things. If they're not propped up with prayer and the Bible and faith in God, we'll fall apart. Amen. Elijah just about had a nervous breakdown. Oh, help me preach a little bit. You don't believe it, do you? Amen. You don't believe it. He went over under went over under a juniper tree. Amen. And he prayed like this, Brother Mac. God, just let me die. Amen. Listen to me now. You may be in that shape right here tonight. Amen. Oh, a saint of God. Amen. But you might be saying, I don't know why God even lets me live. That's the way Elijah did. Because it was dark and it was stormy. And he felt himself starting to sink. I'm going to preach to you a little bit here tonight. Amen. And do we have a sinking saint? Amen. If you love the world tonight, amen, and you didn't used to, if you used to have a standard of holiness, but you don't have it now, if you used to teach and preach and testify and live for God and witness to your neighbor, and now you don't even care if they go to hell or not. I say it's time for you to cry out. I know you've done some great things, and I'm not belittling it. Elijah, amen, said, God, let me die. You're in this house tonight. one cure for you. And not for me to preach to you. And you get in an order. God didn't make us just to give up every time trouble came. We're children of God. Huh? Now there's some great feats. Elijah, how many knows Elijah? He begged God to let him die. How many has ever visited his grave? He read his epitaph. You know what his epitaph reads? He is not here. Huh? He flew away. Woo, somebody say amen. I'll tell you what, sometimes when the storm hits, we don't recognize Jesus when he comes. They thought he was a spirit. Amen. At 3 o'clock in the morning. How many is usually up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Huh? Anybody here out ever go out? It's pretty dark at 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Come on now. Brother, it was a dark. They were in the midst of the sea, and the storm had came, and it was dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. Oh, listen, church, we're in an age where our world at one time knew about Jesus. They one time knew. Oh, yes, they did. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said he liked those preachers that when they preached, they got animated in a way that it looked like they were fighting hornets off of them. Amen. That's the kind of preaching he liked. Amen. Brother, it ain't been too long back in our history. Oh, God, help me preach. There's some of you here tonight. Amen. You're sinking because you've got distracted. Amen. From the Son of God. Oh, yeah. You say, preacher, you had the trouble I had. Oh, yes, I know you've had trouble. And I know you're in a dangerous position. But if you lose focus of Jesus, if you lose the discerning power of who he really is, oh yes, some of the greatest preachers that ever preached in our movement, amen, lost focus on who Jesus is and said he was not divine, he was not God's son, he was not equal with God, and down they went, amen, as great as they were, better preacher than me, amen, but they're down, amen, because they lost focus, amen, of Jesus. You're not helping me tonight, but I'm trying to help you, amen. If you've got your eye on the carnivals of this world, you've got your eyes on the mammon of this world, you've got your eyes, amen, on this evolution god of this world, you're going to sink, saint. We're not going to come up, amen. We're not going to stay up, we're not going to survive until we get our eyes back on the Son of God. Woo! When I first got saved, and I may be wrong about this, I may just be perceiving it wrong, but when I first got saved, hardly anybody backslid then. Now you may, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Preachers, there might have been a scandal once every 5 years that we'd have to overcome. But brother, it's one after another. Are you listening to me? I tell you what, preaching the gospel is more than high dollar leather shoes and fancy neckties and suits. Amen. And riding the finest of vehicles. And I appreciate everything God's people's done for me. Don't get me wrong. But brother, preaching is more than that. We have to be willing to preach if we wear a camel hair, amen, jacket, which those are pretty nice, but you know what I'm talking about, the kind John the Baptist wore. Amen. Come on now. You say, well, I'll never lose focus. Oh, come on now. Amen. I can almost hear, amen, some going down here tonight. Oh, God, help this preacher tonight. I'm about to feel like preaching to you. Amen. Amen. Peter walked on the water until he looked at the waves and his trouble. You know, if you're not careful, the devil will get you bitter. And you'll look around and say, why me, God? And you'll go down. You may not believe this, but brother, I'm telling you the truth tonight. Old John the Baptist was out there on the Jordan. I got to Sister Loretta, I got to walk on that Jordan. It's not a very pretty river, really. It's kind of dingy looking. But I got, boy, it was just, it felt good, though, to be there where Jesus walked. You remember the day John the Baptist said, pointed a finger at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And a few days later, he's a man in a dungeon. He's got the death penalty. He's on death row. He's looking through the bars of a pit where it's damp and dark and moldy and musty. And he calls his disciples over. And the same one that just proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God," heard the voice of God speak himself and say, "This is my beloved Son." But what's happening in the dungeon where it's dark and stormy? Help me preach a little bit tonight. Boy, I don't mean to bore you tonight, but I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. If trouble is going to put our little church under the waves, then we're gone. Because we've got trouble, and we got more coming. Somebody help this preacher tonight. I said, we've got trouble and more on the way. And if we don't learn, amen, are you listening to me? That darkness prevented their vision. That storm brought fear to their heart. And I'm going to tell you, we do not predict how life is going to turn. But we can always predict this. Jesus is in the mountain praying, and he sees us. Huh? I don't mean to embarrass Kinsey no more than I already have. But at homecoming, Brother Mike, somebody called early in the week about the third day of the meeting, says, "How's the meeting going?" And Brother Benny couldn't come, and we was having a good meeting, but I was looking for that breakthrough, and I said to somebody on the phone, "It ain't hardly broke through yet," and I felt her look straight over at me. Looked at me like, "It hadn't?" When I hung up, she said, "Daddy, I've already shouted both nights. What do you mean we ain't had a breakthrough?" And I said, praise God, it may be dark all around her, but it wasn't dark in her. Are you listening to me? Come on now. Oh, I wish I was a preacher tonight. I'd tell you what happened to those disciples. It got dark in them. They forgot what God had done for them. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. They forgot what God had done for them. Amen. They forgot. Amen. And when they left him, he was headed in the mountain to pray. And brother, the Bible said in the book of Mark chapter 6, amen, that from the mountain he looked down in the pitch black of a 3 o'clock morning darkness and said, brother L.D. Moore used to say, God can see a black bug under the bark of a black tree at the middle of the midnight hour. I tell you, he can see a saint, amen, is sinking. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. The Bible said he saw their toiling. Brother Darrell, amen, I watch you sometimes, and I do it because I love you, and I see you as you're weary and you're tired, and I know the battle you're fighting, but I'll tell you one bigger than me, that God's watching. Every time you say, "God, have mercy on me, Brother Charlie," God sees that toiling on the job. He sees that disappointment, amen, out there on the sea. He knows the storm that you're in. He knows the darkness that's upon this world. And he sees you. But not only is he praying, and not only does he see you, but he's walking towards you. Hallelujah. Amen. It ain't going to be long. Amen. He's going to come walking on the water. Hallelujah. John the Baptist in the dungeon said, how many knows what he said to his disciples? They said, "Go ask Jesus if he's the one, or do we look for another?" Who said that, Brother Jeff? Huh? The same man that just a few days before, ever how long it was, said boldly, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was that boldness that gave him the boldness to tell the king, "It's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife." He was in prison for preaching the truth. From the inspiration, amen, of the Son of God being who he said. That's the only reason I'm preaching tonight, is because I believe Jesus is who he says he is. Woo! Hallelujah! I tell you what, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I want to tell you, listen to me. I want to tell this sinking saint in here tonight, if you'll cry out, he'll immediately come to you. Whoa, sweet lamb. Sister Leanna, come up here. Play that song. I thought of this, and I may have told this before. I read this in a book, and I've told this, I know, but it was a testimony of a CEO, chief executive officer of a big corporation that happened to be a Christian, Brother Josh, and he happened to be blind. But he had climbed the corporate ladder and was quite successful. And so this preacher interviewed him and asked him what he contributed his toughness and his endurance to, and him being blind and climb all the way. And he gave this testimony. And he said when he had an accident as a teenage boy that blinded him, he was young and athletic, and he was blinded, and he got so bitter that he just went home and he told his dad, he said, I'm going to sit right here in this bedroom, and you can bring me food if you want to, you take care of me, but I am not coming out of this room. I'm going to sit right here. He was bitter as he could be. His dad carried him, his mom carried him, they cared for him, he took care of him, and they did it a long time till his dad finally realized that his boy was going to die. So he went in there and he said, and he got real firm with his boy, and he said, son, I babied you around, I pitied you, and I do pity you, and you're bitter, and I know it was a freak accident, I wish it hadn't happened, but it has, but you're not going to die from this bitterness. He said, you're coming out of this house today. The boy screamed and kicked and even used some bad terms. And his dad said, I don't care what you say. He said, what can I do outside this house? He said, you're going to go out and say, just like you do every fall of the year, you're going to go in that building, you're going to get those storm windows, and you're going to get them out of that house. You've done it many years. You know where the house is. You're living in it. You know where the windows are. You've got them every year for years. I want them storm windows on this house when I get home from work. He left, he screamed, he hollered, he throat stuff at his dad, and when he left, he said, I'm going to get out of this house, I'm going to get that ladder, and I'm going to get up, and if I fall and break my neck, it's the old man's fault, and he'll be sorry, he'll see that I can't do nothing. So he got out, he really didn't think he could. He got out, went out to the building, found the windows, he put them all up. And the story is this. Y'all listen to me now. He said it was many years went on, but that boy said that put something in me. Let me know I could do, that I was not dead. He said many years later, said, I thank my dad for his sternness to me. He said, Dad said, son, I need to tell you the rest of this story. He said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, well, he said, I really didn't go to work that day. Said, I waited in the edge of the yard and said, every time you climbed up on that ladder, I just tiptoed over behind you. He said, I wasn't about to let you fall. You were my boy, and I loved you. He said, I followed you all the way around the house, Brother Keith. Amen. He ain't going to let you fall. Huh? Praise God. You may lay in that hospital bed and say, I'm young. I don't deserve this. Why is this like this? Where is God? He's right there. Oh, somebody say amen. Those disciples might have said, where is the Lord? Where is my Savior? But they didn't remember. 5,000 people fed. Huh? But that same God, listen to me, that same God that saved you, Brother Robert, filled you with the Holy Ghost, has led you all this way, he's still with you tonight. Even when it may not look like it, Brother Chad. Amen. There's one thing you can count on. He's in the mountain praying. He sees you, and he's coming on the water. Somebody say amen. Sing it, sister. Stand with me. Oh, God.
Listen to me now.
The winds all stood still. Even the water.
Somebody needs to come down here. It ain't been up here in a long time.
His will. He calmed their storm.
We're about done. Like we're going to go out, fellowship home, celebrate a little birthday deal. But we're going to make an altar call first. Somebody that hadn't prayed at this altar in ages needs to come up here right now. You're in the storm. You're in the dark. And you forgot that Jesus is near. He wants you to cry out tonight. I really feel it. Somebody hadn't been here in a some time. You can come up here right now. There's no need of you sinking with the Savior so near. How about it? You going to come?
He brought light to their darkness when their ways grew
Come on.
Him. How great it would be.
Are you a sinking saint tonight?
Leading mine and to
just cry out.
The master.
How about it? Come right on.
All of
I didn't miss it. You may, but I didn't miss it. Not yet. Won't you come?
Death was so nigh.
We got to stay saved. We got to keep the victory. We got to stay on top of the thing that's trying to destroy us. We got to keep it under our feet. And the only way we can do that is cast our eyes on the sea-walking Savior. Can you say amen? Altar's open. Who's going to come?
Why should I fear the very same Jesus?
All right.
Today's always near.
Anybody going to come? You need to. If you keep sinking, you're going to be out of sight.
Till the storm passes by.
You say it can't get no worse.
Why
oh, yes, it can, and it's going to. If you don't come and get a hold of God. Come on. See what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Saints. Don't believe they can sink. I'm going to tell you. You can sink fast if you lose focus and faith and memory of what God can do. The altar's open. Come on. Come on now. That's right. Oh, come on. Come on. Just come on to the altar. I know you can pray through.